As we come this morning on this beautiful Lord's Day, we certainly want to walk closer to the Lord day by day. This morning, we're going to look in the epistle of 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. The first letter of the Apostle John, chapter 1, the first four verses. As we know, the Apostle John is the one whom the Holy Spirit inspired to write the gospel of what we call St. John, and also the three letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And the Apostle John is known as the Apostle of Love. He emphasizes the love of our Heavenly Father for His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the love of Jesus for you and me. And with that great love, after He was resurrected from the dead and ascended back into heaven, He sent the Comforter to be with us and abide in us forever. And we want to look this morning at the subject of being witnesses of the Word of Life. Being witnesses of the Word of Life. So the first four verses of 1 John 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the Word of Life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. Let us pray. Father in heaven, once again, we're thankful for the privilege of worship and praise. Now, O Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit, who is our internal witness to Jesus Christ, would attend to the reading and the proclamation of thy holy word, that it would not just be my word, but it would be your word, the words of life. And help us, Lord, to be witnesses of the word of life. Forgive us now of our many sins and be with us now. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Apostle John was probably in his late 80s, close to 90 years old possibly, when he wrote these letters of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. It was near the end of his earthly life, and he remembered those 3.5 years that he and the other apostles walked with Jesus on the earth. Now, the Scriptures plainly teach us that God is a spirit. And it also teaches us that no man in the flesh hath seen God until God manifested Himself in the flesh. And He did it when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. He says, we find here that in John 1 and 18, that's what John said. I mentioned it just now, but I wanted to read it, where he says, no man hath seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He, the Son of God, He has declared to you and me, God the Father. Jesus came as God in the flesh. And He came declaring to us the unseen God. The God who had never been seen with the naked eye of man. Now you might remember in Exodus that Moses was blessed, the Scripture says, to see the hinder parts of the Lord as His glory passed by, and God hid Moses in the cleft of the rock. But in His fullness, in the glory of His fullness, no mortal man hath ever seen God. But He says, the Son has declared the Father. And we find that this is what John speaks about when he says, that which was from the beginning. And what is he referring to there when he says that? He is referring to the living Word. The living Logos Word. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, he said it this way in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And so we find, even before creation, before God created the world and all of the universe, that our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, He was one with God the Father. He was there in the beginning. And as a matter of fact, we know and we believe that God is from everlasting to everlasting. He has no beginning and He has no ending. God is eternal. And it says that all things were made by Him through Jesus Christ. And without Him, without Jesus, was not anything made that was made. Jesus is just as much the Creator as God the Father is the Creator of all things. He says this, the wise man Solomon was inspired by the Spirit in Proverbs chapter 8. And he said it this way concerning Jesus Christ. In Proverbs chapter 8, he said in verse 24, or 23 rather, I'll start with 22 actually. In Proverbs 8 beginning in 22, and this is concerning Jesus. He says in 22, verse 22 of Proverbs 8, that the Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way before His works of old, that is, creation. I, Jesus, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ere the earth was, when there were no depths, before creation, that is, I was brought forth when there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled and before the hills was, I brought forth. While as yet He had not made the earth, nor the field, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the depth. When He established the clouds above, and when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He gave to the sea His decree that the water should not pass His command, when He appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by Him as one brought up with Him. And I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him. Jesus was with God the Father in the beginning. And the Apostle John says that this is what he was declaring to you and me even today, that which was from the beginning. Now, when Jesus was manifested in the flesh, John said in John 1:14, "And the Word, the living Word, He was made flesh, and He dwelled among us, tabernacled among us, and we beheld His glory." And what was His glory? "The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." When Jesus was born, He was not born of earthly man. Joseph was not His father. God the Father was His heavenly Father. And He was both God and man. And in Him is life. And John says, "We who were His apostles on the earth, we heard Him speak. We heard Him teach. We saw Him perform miracles of healing, opening the eyes of the blind, the ears of the deaf, and the mouths of those who could not speak. We have seen Him with our own eyes. We have looked upon Him, and our own hands have handled of the Word of life." You know, even after His resurrection, Jesus appeared to His disciples. He said, "Handle me and feel me, because I have flesh and bone. I'm not just a spirit, but I have flesh and bone." Our hands have handled of the Word of life. And while Jesus walked with those disciples on the earth, He was their guide. He was their mentor. He says that life was manifested, and we have borne witness unto it. They were eyewitnesses of the living Word of God. And witnesses declare what they see and what they know and what they have heard. Now, the testimony of a witness does not change what they know, but rather it bears record to the truth of what happened when Jesus became a man. His life was manifested, and we saw it. We bore witness of it. And He says, "It is our responsibility to declare unto you that which we have both seen and heard." And we find in 1 John chapter 5, if you turn over to the last chapter in the epistle of 1 John, and let us begin in verse 7. Witnesses of the Word of life. 1 John 5:7. He says that there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one, the Holy Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He also says there's three that bear witness in the earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. We know that the Spirit is the Holy Spirit. Now, what is the water and the blood? I believe that is testifying of the humanity of Jesus being manifested in the flesh. Water and blood. Our body's made up of 96% water, and blood that flows through our veins to provide oxygen and nourishment. It is testifying of Jesus in the earth. And the Trinity testified of who Jesus was. You may remember when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist, it says in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 3, And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, descending like a dove, lighting upon him. And lo, there was a voice from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bore witness in the earth to who Jesus is. And then he says this about the witness. Now, when Jesus was teaching his disciples in the upper room on the night that he would be betrayed to be crucified, he reminded them again that it was expedient that he go away. He had to physically leave them and go back to his Father in heaven. Now, naturally, they didn't want him to go. But he says, it's for your advantage. It is for your benefit that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. That Comforter is the Holy Spirit. He said in the Gospel of John, in chapter 16, these words concerning that very truth. John 15. He says in John 16:7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Now, what did John write many years later? He says in 1 John 5, "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is even greater than the witness of men. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son." God the Father testifies of his Son, and the Spirit testifies of the Son. For he says this, "He that believes on the Son of God has the witness in himself." It's the internal witness of God's Holy Spirit. Paul said in Romans 8 that God's Spirit witnesses in our hearts with our own spirit that we are His children. And by that Spirit, we are enabled to cry unto the Lord, "Abba, Father," or "Father, Father." We've been quickened, made alive, and we have been implanted with the internal witness of the Spirit. We have the witness living in us today. So, Jesus, through the Spirit, lives with us and in us today and every day. So, it was necessary that He go away in order that the Spirit would come. And what does the Spirit do? Jesus said it in John 16 and verse 13. "Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come," He's a true witness, "what will He do? He will guide you into all truth." The Spirit of Christ in your heart and mind leads, guides, and He directs. Our quarterly Bible study this quarter has been on the Holy Spirit. And today's lesson concerning the leadership of the Spirit and the witness of the Spirit. And so we find that those apostles were eyewitnesses. Now, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, what did those apostles do? The Bible says that they all forsook Him and fled away. They went into hiding on that night. They were afraid. They felt like it was all over. That those 3.5 years were coming to naught, that their lives now were in jeopardy. But Jesus, when He was raised from the dead, when He appeared to them in many forms, and He told them, "I'm not going to leave you without a comforter. I will come to you, and I will help you." And now, you and me today, we are also, just like they were, we are eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ. Now we find this in the book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse number 8. Acts chapter 1. This was their commission. This was the commission that Jesus gave them. And Brother Luke is recounting it for the disciples in that day and for us today. When He said, "These are the words of Jesus to His disciples and to you and me today." Acts 1 and 8. "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and in Samaria and finally unto the uttermost part of the earth." When those disciples forsook Jesus and fled, they were not walking in His power. The Spirit had not yet come. But when the Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, that internal witness came, and He will never leave us. You know, Peter said on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, in verse 32, "This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses." Eyewitness. Now, when the Spirit of the Lord comes into your heart and mind, by the eye of faith, we also are able to witness His resurrection. 2,000 years passed, when He has raised us from death and sin to life in Christ, we are His witnesses. Now, back in our text, now I want you to see some other things. What was the purpose for which we are to witness? Certainly of what Jesus has done in saving us from our sin. But in saving us from our sin, He has restored our fellowship with God the Father. He says in verse 3 of our text, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us." And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Our fellowship with God was broken in the Garden of Eden when Adam sinned. And it remained in that state until Jesus restored it on the cross of Calvary. Now, these things are to bring great joy to your heart and mine. Our fellowship with our Father has been restored. Our fellowship with His Son has been restored. And He said, "These things we write unto you, that your joy may be full." That our joy in our Savior might overflow. Even in the face of opposition, remember Jesus said, "In this world we will have persecution, but be of good cheer, be of great joy, because I have overcome the world." Jesus told His disciples in John chapter 15, verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you." This is for the purpose of it, "that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now, what was Jesus' joy? His joy was knowing that when He finished the work on the cross, His joy was to know that He had completed the work of our eternal salvation. That we would be with Him forever. When He said, "It is finished, paid in full," His joy was fulfilled. And we can have that joy today. Because Jesus said, "These things I've spoken to you, that My joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Now, the Lord willing, in coming Sundays, I may go ahead and look at some more things about fellowship. Our fellowship is unbroken when we're walking with Him. But what is it that disturbs that fellowship? It's sin, isn't it? When we commit sin, either of commission or omission, then that fellowship is broken. And there's a need for repentance and turning and forgiveness. So let us be eyewitnesses of the Word of life. And when we go out into the world, never let an opportunity go by to tell those you meet how good the Lord has been to you, is my prayer for Christ's sake.